there's so many things going on in the world, and so many voices and so much narration about different things, and everybody is a commentator now. And oftentimes you can have a disagreement with something and or someone, and it fractures friendships and relationships. Well, we decided that at Impacting Life 24/7, we wanted to create a platform where speakers who bring positivity around the world could come together in one place at midnight and issue out some 15 minutes of dynamic fire and motivation. And why do we need that? Because we got enough negativity in the world. Why not find some people who are skilled at bringing positivity in the world? And I've got four folks joining me tonight who are absolutely amazing motivators. I've had them all in my circle and on our show, and we're connected beyond just professionally. These are my friends, and I that's who I'm bringing to you, people who have a passion about people. And they're going to speak to you tonight, just like we did last month. You know, last month was our inaugural. We already got our speakers lined up for the rest of the year. So we just cooking this thing. And so I'm excited that you guys are joining us and are part of our midnight motivation. And I'm telling you, four speakers in three different time zones, it's going to be lit. And so I'm very, very excited about that. 11:59. The clock says it's 11:59, and I can't believe that it's almost midnight. Our first speaker is none other than Kendrick Thomas from the Houston, Texas area, KTV. He is a motivator and inspirer. He's an educator and administrator and a dynamic individual. And so I am delighted to introduce him to you all and share the first speaker with you on Midnight Motivation. I turn it over now to the great and the notorious Kendrick Thomas. Welcome, Kendrick.
Man, I appreciate that. I'm kind of afraid of that title, notorious. I'm just a simple man. You know, just jumping right into things and thanking you for the platform of just getting out and being able to inspire people. Like you said, so much that we need to do to be able to help somebody. And so that's why I look forward to this. And so I listened to what you said as you began to introduce me, and we're talking about the educator, you know, we're talking about the inspirer. I would say back in 2007, 2008, I heard a mantra, and it was called dream, believe, do, repeat, right? And so as I listen to this and I think about all those things that I've accomplished through my dreams, I really just wanted to share a little bit of how that mantra helps me, and just hoping that it helps someone else tonight, right? And so when I first heard this, I think back to 9 years old. My mom had been incarcerated, armed robbery, and so I'm getting ready, and I'm trying to find my way through the world. I'm the oldest of three, and I'm really just trying to push, and I'm in these gangs, I'm not understanding. I'm going to visit mom in jail, and I'm saying, okay, I'm struggling. And we had a poem competition in my school. Third grade, I wrote a poem called Life Is, right? And so this poem was picked to be inside of a book called The Ceilings. And if you're from Louisiana, then you know that was like kids, third grade, fourth grade, elementary and up. How serious was it, brother, that I was picked out of all those people about an 8-line stanza called Life Is, right? So as I go through all of these things, you think about it had to be serious. But what that did was that put that first part of that stanza in there for me, because it, with everything going, I realized writing and getting things out became my outlet. And so here I go with my dream, and I talk to my grandmother and I say, Grandma, when I grow up, I want to be an English teacher, right? And so here we go. When you think of all those accomplishments, that's one of the most that I'm most proud about, because I was able to help other Black men who couldn't read, who couldn't do such and such, and I was able to give them that hope. And so then what I think about is talking to you all and saying, what are your dreams? You know, when we were kids, we all thought about something, but then we got away from it, right? We didn't think it could happen. We really lost focus or sight of that dream, but it was only through me dreaming and finding out what inspired me was I able to get away from the bullies, was I able to get away from the violence. And when I tell you, it was real in my neighborhood. it was something hard. And so then that brings me back to, now I got my dream, but then what's the next part of the mantra? The belief, right? And so then how many people have had that dream, but didn't believe it could happen? We say when we believe something, we believe that is what we see true. So being a teacher wasn't true to me, brother. Being a drug dealer, right? Being a shooter, right? All of those things was what was real to me. And so then I had to say, what do I do? And so I kept going through life with this dream, and I was introduced to the allegory of the cave. And so when I read that, and I said, man, I'm on the inside wanting to do something, but until I leave and go away to make that comeback, there's nothing I can do for my people. So once I seen that difference, I said, okay, now after the drugs, after I've been through the streets, after I've been through the hustle, but I still kept this dream, now I just seen how I believe that I can make it happen, right? Because remember, I said, I got the dream, but when do you believe? And so then it was after I said, the only way I can get out after reading this philosophy was saying, this is how I'm gonna help my people. And so I move out, get out of the way, and then I go to school, right? Because I say, you got to be a teacher, you got to go to college. So I went off to college, didn't do the right thing. Didn't learn a lot because I was still caught up in that life. Still was uninspired, brother. I get ready to go to college, LSU, and I get that call. They say, well, brother, you're going to have to pay your bill today or we're going to drop all your college courses. You got to think of where I was. I'm inside of the system, right? I'm beating murder, I'm beating death. And then I say, okay, y'all, I'm going to try to go to college and I'm going to try to make better for my people. And so what happened was when I had that dream, when I finally start believing it can happen, then I got chased with, now it's time to do something, right? So I'm going to school and I'm doing something. They cancel it. When I tell you, when God says move, and when he say it's time for you to do, then something gonna change, but you gotta be willing to do it. So fast forward 2003, I get the telephone call from my friend. I say, man, they just canceled my classes. I'm not able to take care of mom. I got to get ready to do something different. He tells me, you can come down here and go to school. He told me that on a Thursday, Tuesday, September 3rd, 2003, I moved to Houston, Texas. 4 days. Dream, believe, do, right? So I'll tell you the crazy part about that is in July, when this guy moved to Houston, I came to help him dig a trench for his family, not knowing that I would meet these people. And then 3 months later, I'm living in their house because God made a way for me, right? So I get down here, I jump in school, I go through my 4 years. And that was the part of me saying that I can do. I can. But once I got there, let me tell you what happened, man. Hold up, brother. I get a little emotional because this is one of the hard parts of it. When I get here, I realize that I got a brother, right? And so I say, what do I do? Because I'm still living inside of this dream. I became the English teacher. I became the assistant principal. I worked from paraprofessional all the way up to running the school, right? And so then now I say, okay, well, this is my mantra. Dream, believe, do. But what's the next piece? It's time to repeat it, correct? So then with that last piece of being able to repeat this dream, I lose my brother in May 2019. I lose my best friend 2 weeks before that, right? And so now from May all the way through June, I'm in the middle of it. I'm in the middle of it. And I got to get out, CL. And so what do I do? I say, well, I always had this dream of being this media person, of being this, but I never did anything about it. Right. And so here I go back in. I'm repeating the cycle. Finally, July 1st, 2019, I do, brother. And so then that's when we created KTTV. Right. And so then we get that work going. And from there, we repeat. Right. And so now we're going out and we're dropping this motivation to so many people. But the biggest thing about it is, even when I'm at schools, I try to tell the kids, that's all you can live by. Just follow that mantra, right? Because so many of us have dreams that we let fall to the wayside, you know, let flourish. I know so many people that I've met 40 years old, and he said, man, I'm just not going back to college, right? Or I'm working with people who are doing adult education. So I would just say tonight, in believing that what we want, we can have. But we got to be willing to dream it, do it, which is that big piece, right? And then believe, man. And so I learned the other day, people think that it takes so long for your life to change, when really in one instance, your life has changed, right? I mean, and so I want people to just understand that you can have what you say. All of the negative, take it out, right? So a man thinketh, so is he. And so then when we get ready to think about that going forward in our life, I don't know, bro. I want everybody to understand that they can do it, man. And so as I get ready to close out and I fast forward to what we're doing here, I want people to know that that mantra can be true, but just understanding that is what worked for me. As an educator, we believe and we're taught everybody learns different, right? And so then we think about the differentiation piece of life. As you dream in that dream and you're doing and you're believing and you're repeating that process, stay focused on the important parts of your dream. A lot of times I also tell my kids, don't do anything outside of your goal, right? Anything outside of these progressions to get to where you want to be, because these days it's so easy for us to get distracted, so easy for us to get cut off, as you said in the beginning. And so just building these babies up every day, keeping that mantra going, is what it's all about. And man, that's really my mission tonight, man. CL, that's all I want to really drop on them today. Dream, believe, do, repeat.
Dream, believe, do, and repeat. That is very, very powerful. Awesome job, Kendrick, man. I'm telling you what, if you can just follow that roadmap right there, that's an excellent roadmap. Simple, but very, very powerful. Dream. I talked about vision last month, and dreaming and vision is very closely related. And then believing, you know, getting our young people, and you have to do that every day, man. You're an elementary school principal, right, Kendrick?
Yes, sir. Yes,
yeah.
Sir. Man.
So
man. Yeah, that, we lost hope.
That's powerful, man. Dream, believe, and do. How can people contact you, Kendrick?
Man, I like to keep it simple. KTTV.com, KTTEEV. Just go there. KTTV, we'll get the videos. We got the podcast. We got the radio show. We even got merch. See you there.
But I think soon I'm going to be on one of those platforms with KTTV if he invites me there to Texas, huh?
I already got the information. I'm waiting on you.
We ready to go, man. Thank you so much, Kendrick.
Thank y'all, man.
And so our next speaker tonight, that's what I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, Midnight Motivation, very, very powerful. Thank you for all that are tuning in, those that have come into the room as well as on our live feed. Thank you so much for being a part of Midnight Motivation. We've got, like I said, four speakers from three different time zones, very dynamic. And our next speaker is Miss R. Patrice Bryant from Connecticut. She is the creator of Why We Wait. She's also a gifted and very anointed and talented musician and singer. So with that, I will turn it over to her. Kendrick gave you a little bit of lead time. Look at that, brother. Very good. So, our Patrice, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Dr. King. And KT, I have to say that was fire. And we are definitely connected because I'm right there. Talking a little bit about the power of one and believing in yourself. I do have notes because Dr. King has me up past my bedtime. So I want to make certain all my creative juices are flowing properly. So good evening, good morning, good afternoon, wherever you are. Jump right into it. There's a quote that says, no man is an island entire of itself. And just like islands who are cut off from the mainland and fully surrounded by water, it is said that they exist on their own. However, I beg to differ, because there are strong influences that come from the surrounding bodies of water and from the sun and from the environment, et cetera. So just like an island, no man is truly in full isolation. We are the influencers in the earth. So I love KT, what you were talking about. And everything matters. Even what some may believe are simple, no harm things, they do matter. They do. Even if you live alone and no one can see you, what you do and how you live, even when no one can see you, is still influencing somebody else. The way we are designed is so very powerful that what we do, how we live, what we accomplish, and even our failures impact even those in our bloodline years before they are even born. Our decisions, our choices, our lifestyles, they matter, even for those who we have never met. It is a great misconception that if you are not famous, if you're not rich, if you're not popular, that your life doesn't matter. That's a great misconception. And social media can fool you, because if you look at Facebook and YouTube and you're not getting the likes and the shares that you want, you believe, oh, nobody's watching me. Nobody's into what I'm talking about. And then you can look at someone else who is, you know, I don't want to bash them, but maybe not really doing anything positive, but it's just straight entertainment, it's gossip. Then they're getting, you know, all of these likes, all of these shares, you know, their numbers are through the roof. You know, they even have YouTube giving them money, you know, because of what they're doing, you know. But when you have something of substance, it could appear that no one is really paying attention, but that's all designed by social media. I'm not certain if you've seen the documentaries that show you how these social media platforms work, all of the suppression of the algorithms. And, you know, maybe it just looks like nothing's happening. But I know that something is happening, because a lot of times people are watching you. They're watching to see what you're talking about, what you're doing, how you're living, what you're posting. So I want to say continue helping. Somebody's watching you. Some people may never like it. They may never love it. They may never share it, but they are paying attention. Also, I want to talk about those negative voices in your head that tell lies. There's always a negative prophet in your head, and KT touched on that. There's always that negative. There's that thing that tells you you can't do it. You're not good enough. You're not prepared for this. But we also know that if you're dreaming big, there's going to be some, even on the inside of you, like, I'm really not ready for this. That's when you know you have tapped into something. Dream big. That's what he was talking about, that dream. There are those negative, it's a lie, and you have to counteract it. You got to talk back to it. Sometimes every day, I talk to myself a lot. I mean, I'm an only child, so I'm goofy. I talk to myself anyway. So, but sometimes I'm talking to myself for purpose. I have to say, oh, okay, I hear what you're saying, but that's not true. I am more than a conqueror. I can do this. I can make this happen. Who's better than me? Because I'm the one that has this assignment, and we all have an assignment that no one else can do. And I'm jumping ahead of myself. And then we also have private victories. The private victories in our lives, those things that nobody else sees, the thoughts that we have in our head, we say, you know what? I'm not thinking right. I'm going to switch. I'm going to reset. Or even addictions that we have, or different lifestyle patterns that we have, and you conquer those things, those are private victories. those private victories are still influencing somebody else. Because you conquer, someone else is going to conquer. And I'm going to talk more about that in just a short space of time. I want to encourage some and remind others that we all have an assignment. That is the total purpose of why we are here. And it is so important that we understand our why and our purpose. We have all been given an assignment that no one else can do. I'm a singer. There are singers come a dime a dozen, but no one has the same assignment. No one has the same sphere of influence. Who I'm called to, someone else is not called to. My style of singing, somebody may not like it. And that's why you can't get discouraged in whatever you do, because what you're doing is for a specific nation, a specific people. So if this set of people over here don't like your singing, maybe it's because, you know, singing is opinionated, music is opinionated. They like it, maybe they don't, but there is somebody that you're called to. There's another quote that states, the graveyard, and KT touched on this as well. The graveyard is the richest place on earth because it is here that you will find all the hopes and the dreams that were never fulfilled. So I say to you, come on, winner, dream again, live again, hope again. You have a responsibility to conquer because someone is depending on you. You have a heavy responsibility. Get it together, get it together, get it moving. We are all seeds that have been planted in the earth to make a difference. And I want to tell a short story and I'm done. I was raised by a woman who was not my biological mother. She ended up being my grandmother. She started out being the oil lady. My mother was working the graveyard shift and she said, I need a babysitter for my baby. The oil lady thought about it for a moment and told my mother, I'll do it. I was 14 months old. I ended up almost staying there all the time. Anyway, she ended up raising me. And I have to say that the deposits that she instilled in me was not just for me. And I know she's helped a lot of people. She's gone on now. But what she deposited in me, it will never die, because then I will deposit it into someone else. There was so much love given to me. There was so much joy, so many principles, so many life lessons. There was Christian education. There was music. So because of this woman being a church organist, a businesswoman, all of those things were transferred over to me. So now I can assist somebody else. So her reach, one person, her reach is so much farther than just her. Her reach is so much farther than just a little woman from Arkansas, from Dumas, Arkansas, by way of San Antonio, Texas, through Oklahoma. And her story was so positive. But what she put in me, I am now influenced to touch somebody else. She will never see these people. She will never know these people. But not only my children and my grandchildren, but others are being affected positively. So her reach is going very, very far. So I say to you again, there's a quote that says, no man is an island entire of itself. And just like islands who are cut off from the mainland and fully surrounded by water, it is said that they exist on their own. However, I beg to differ, because there are strong influences that come from the surrounding body of water and from the sun and from the environment. So just like an island, no man is truly in full isolation. So dream again, live again, hope again, reach again, take on the responsibility, find out your why. Your why, your purpose is probably the greatest hell that you've had in your life that you conquered. You didn't just survive it. You conquered for a purpose. Take that victory and thrush it out and ask. You know, if you ask questions, if you begin to ask questions, the answers will come to you. Why am I here? What am I supposed to be doing right now? How can I be a greater benefit in life? Those answers will come. Touch somebody, because there is power in one. You may not be famous. You may not be rich. You may not be wealthy. You may not be popular, but you can touch one person that their reach will be farther than yours, and that thing will live on. Thank you for this time.
Amen. Now, that's powerful. Wow. I see that again. I heard her say again several times. And man, some people have put down their dreams. Some people have put down living. Some people have put down inspiration. And she said, do it again, you know, and all the things that you talked about there are, Patrice, are many things that I've heard our speakers talk about. You know, that there is this perception. She talked about this in the beginning. There is this perception that what you see on social media that makes you who you are, and don't get trapped into that lie because someone doesn't like your post or heart you or give you affirmation that you're not still valuable. So that's very, very powerful. I'm going to live again. I'm going to dream again. And she also made note, ladies and gentlemen, that I had her up past her bedtime. So our Patrice, tell us how people can contact you and how they can get up with you.
You can reach me very easily. R. Patrice Bryant. Patrice is spelled with a Y on Instagram, on Facebook. That's an rpatricebryant@gmail.com if you want to book me for whatever, I'm my goofy self. But you can find me there.
Yeah, she's being very humble, but she's a very gifted and accomplished music minister, pianist. She teaches vocal as well as piano, so an organ, and she plays a little bit of everything. So very, very powerful presentation. We're going to live again. And thank you so much, R. Patrice Bryant. We really appreciate it. Next up is my friend from Cleveland, Ohio. He's like we're all close to the same age, but he's still my younger brother, but he's my brother for sure from another mother. This man and I, when we come on the phone, we talk, it's supposed to be only, we put a limit. Okay. It's going to be 10 minutes. And then all of a sudden it's 2 hours. So, Lon Jordan is a content creator. He's an amazing content creator. He has a thriving YouTube channel, and he's really helping people regionally deal with practical issues. All the things that we've been through, pandemic, job loss, all of those things, Lon deals with those every single week, and he gives people practical, applicable tips that you can, when you finish with his video, if you just do one of the three things he tells you, you're going to come out ahead. He's a great speaker. He's a craftsman in the artistry of content, and I'm so glad to have him in our motivational midnight session. Lon, the floor is yours, my friend.
Thank you, CL King. First of all, I would just like to say I'm so excited to be a part of this Midnight Motivation. The speakers that came before me were fire. I was like so excited to hear some of the gems that were dropped. As I was trying to figure out exactly what I wanted to talk about today, one thing that kept coming to my heart over and over and over again was you have a purpose for your life. When I was 5 years old, I was sitting on the living room floor crying and acting outright obnoxious. So my mother told me to sit in a small wooden rocking chair until I got my act together. And as I was sitting in the chair, wiping the tears from my eyes, I saw my father putting clothes into this large green duffel bag. After he could no longer fit any more items into his bag, he zipped the duffel bag up, kissed me on the forehead, and walked out the back door, never to return. By the time I was in eighth grade, my relationship with him began to dissipate and anger began to consume me, as well as I was hanging out with people that were going down a path to nowhere. And it was during this time, my mother thought I had some issues going on. So did my uncle. And so my mom allowed me to actually go on a youth group retreat that was put on by my church. And as I was sitting in the chair listening to the speaker, it was the first time that I literally realized that I had a purpose for my life from the words that were spoken out of the youth pastor. And so after the meeting was over, I came home, got rid of my friends who were going down a path to nowhere, and started writing lyrics. And I was able to convince my friend named DJ Doc to be a part of his hip-hop group called the Fearless Poets. And immediately we began to travel around Ohio, performing and speaking to youth and educating youth through our artistry. And as the years went by, we were able to start seeing a decent amount of success. But the interesting thing about that particular time of my life was that even though I was experiencing success on one hand from the artistry, on the other hand, my soul was quickly deteriorating because of the anger that I had towards my father. And it got so bad that when I was 19 years old, my mother came into my room and was trying to help me with my personal issues. And I came this close to physically hurting her because of the anger that I had towards my father. Thankfully, that didn't happen. And about a week later, I actually ran into a couple at my church who sat down with me and talked to me about the importance of forgiveness and the importance of forgiving my father. So within a few days, I ended up calling my father on the phone and I said, "Hey, Dad, will you forgive me for all the anger and hatred that I had towards you all of these years?" He said yes. And he then said, "Will you forgive me for all the things that I did to you?" And I said yes. And it was at that moment that this huge weight was lifted off my head. And it was in that moment that I was reminded again that I have a purpose for my life. After a few years, I eventually graduated from, got a bachelor's degree in communication broadcast from college. And I came home and immediately started a youth speaker business. And this is the time that everything seemed like it went straight to hell. There was ice coming through the walls of my mother's house. There was water coming through the heating ducts underneath the house that turned into mold and condensation, and it infiltrated the entire house. So we actually ended up having to leave. And my mom went to other people's houses for a year and a half, and I stayed in different houses from my mother for a year and a half. And it was in this time that was one of the most difficult times of my life, because I was sitting there and staying with people that I knew that I knew cared about me, but they just didn't understand me. I had a vision that was inside of me. I had a gift that was inside of me that I felt like they didn't fully understand. I was in a situation where I was approaching life differently than the way that they were raised and some of the things that they were accustomed to. And it just created a lot of problems, anger, and conflict. And I want to say to you right now, if there will come a time in your life where you step outside of what other people have seen you be and do, and your purpose will create conflict with the people around you. Your vision will create conflict with the people around you. But it is in those situations that you have to make a choice that you are going to move forward in your purpose anyway. Thankfully, after a year and a half, me and my mom were able to move back into the house. And that was when I was able to start traveling around speaking. I was able to start getting paid to speak and do school assemblies, all school assemblies. I was able to start speaking at nonprofit organizations. Also during that time, I was able to write a book called Sketched by Design, which means that you are unique by design for a specific purpose. And this book basically helps people to discover their unique design in the 21st century marketplace and also help future generations to do the same. And I also was able to have the opportunity to be the executive producer and co-host of a national TV show called What's Real TV. And eventually I was able to create a YouTube channel, which I have now, called Sketched by Design. I share this with you because all those things that I went through and all the hell that I went through, all the mistakes and the failures that I had, all the misunderstanding still did not discredit me. And it still did not take away the fact that I had a purpose for my life. And all the stuff that you were going through doesn't take away the fact that you have a purpose for your life. If you've experienced betrayal and people backstabbing you, that doesn't mean that you don't still have a purpose for your life. If you've experienced trauma and pain in your past and in your childhood that you feel discredits you from experiencing a better future, you still have a purpose for your life. If you've experienced hatred and people not being able to understand the gift and the value and the substance inside of you, you still have a purpose for your life. If you're in a situation where the bills aren't being paid right now, or you're in a job that you hate and you're trying to figure out what exactly you need to do next, and the people around you are all doing the same thing, seems like everybody around you is a copy, even in those situations, you still have a purpose. You have a purpose that you are meant to fulfill with your life, and don't let anyone tell you otherwise. Thank you.
Wow. Lon Jordan, I have not seen him in that capacity before. And somebody said, "Preach, sir." I said, "Lon was starting to feel a little bit, wasn't he, y'all?" Yes, and I've never heard that. Lon's been on my show, and Lon is my friend. I've never heard that storyline. I never heard how it came about and the house and the trauma that was going on there. Brother, man, and every week you could put out some negative stuff and be bitter. I never see anything Lon puts out where he doesn't, if there's a cause and effect, Lon's got a plan and a solution. He gives people realistic plans to navigate this thing called life. And Lon, man, I'm telling you, brother, that spoke to me because as you know, being that little kid from Cleveland, Ohio too, brother, I went through the exact same paths, and you said, man, it doesn't matter what you've been through. You still have a purpose. I feel that in the Holy Ghost. All right. So, Lon, tell me, brother, how can people get up with you, man? How can they connect with you?
Well, you can reach me at, on Instagram, as well as you can email me at info@lonjordan.net, but all of my social media from Facebook, to Instagram and my YouTube channel is basically all at Sketched by Design.
Okay. Yep. And Greg has his book. He's endorsed it. In fact, I keep a copy of it right here on my desk. Look, bud, I didn't even plan that, man. I better get Vince's book out too. So listen, Lon, I really thank you for your words. And that's right. Go to Sketch by Design. You can find him on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and he puts out amazing content. I'm telling you, he's got 30, 40 videos out. He puts out amazing content that's very practical. That's like, I can do this right now. So thank you so much, Lon. Our next and final speaker is a man who wowed my staff. When we had him on our show, Vince Warnock, we had him on our show the first time. We were so blown away that they said, you've got to get that guy back. I mean, Mike Black, who's on, Vince is just an absolute surgeon in the industry that he is in. He has helped people all around the world really get a grasp on dealing with imposter syndrome and really getting their gear, chasing insights. He is just a remarkably brilliant person that gives it to you where you can understand it. On top of all of that, he is where right now we're at, you know, the midnight hour, and he is, you know, 4 o'clock in the afternoon because he's in a totally different place in the world. He's from Wellington, New Zealand. Wellington, New Zealand is my friend who's coming up next, a master speaker and author, Vince Warnock. Welcome, Vince.
Oh, thank you so much, CL. And like I've said to you before, man, you are now my hype man. You are following me everywhere. You're going to introduce me in every room. Awesome. Hey, everyone, look, I'm super privileged to be here, honestly. And one of the things I want to talk to you about is something that I've found really, really powerful through my life. And I think it's going to help all of you as well. And it is the power of vulnerability. And by that, I mean the ability for you to both make yourself vulnerable and show vulnerability and make yourself a complete badass in doing that as well. And one of my favorite quotes is by Brené Brown. It says, vulnerability is the birthplace of innovation, creativity, and change. And I've certainly seen that through my life. So before I kind of get into the details of that and why it's so important, let's have a quick look at what vulnerability is and what it isn't. And first of all, what vulnerability isn't, and this is really important, it is not weakness. It is not frailty. It is not losing. It is not failing. What vulnerability is having the courage to show up and be seen when you have absolutely no control over the outcome. In fact, if anything, think about this. Vulnerability is our greatest measure of courage because you have the courage, but vulnerability is about then stepping in. It is the ultimate position of strength. Now, this is important for a reason. So all of us, by the way, have vulnerabilities. All of us have weaknesses. Every single one of us are flawed human beings. And I certainly had my share of that growing up. I grew up in a little place in New Zealand called Tetahi Bay. And I grew up around the corner from the gangs, the local gangs. I grew up in an environment where we had no money. We were in extreme poverty there. And I grew up in an abusive household. And what I discovered through all of that was I had to learn basically to hide myself. I had to learn to not show any weakness, not show any vulnerability, not show up even, not like just basically keep quiet, because anytime you stood out from somewhere else, every time you stood out from the rest, that resulted in pain and it resulted in hurt. So I certainly had vulnerability, I had weakness, but I did not want to show that. So then I have to understand what human life is all about. And this is the weird thing growing up in that environment. The one thing that you are missing within that is human connection. The one thing you are missing is a sense of love or a sense of belonging, because you certainly don't feel like you belong in an abusive household. So I learned through this that all of life, everything that's important to us, is about human connection. It is about relationships. And the weird thing is, as humans, we do this kind of strange thing. We want those connections so deeply. We want to belong so deeply. But the problem is, we want to do it without the risk. We want to belong without actually taking risks. And then the irony is, we don't actually belong in the end. What we do is we try to fit in rather than to belong. Now, I'll give you a good example of this. Like growing up, this is why the world is so weird. And Patrice, you kind of touched on this with social media. The world at the moment is a very strange, strange place. When we grew up as kids, you would have a close-knit group of friends at school. And school for me was my happy place. That was where I got away from the abuse. That's where I got away from the pain. And you would turn up at school and you would be around these other kids. Now, if I said I love Star Wars, which if you can tell I do, but if I said I love Star Wars and one of my friends says, I think it's overrated, you can't hide from that. You can't run away from that. You can't unfollow them. You can't block them. You are face to face with them. You have to have a conversation with them. You have to take a risk and you have to basically speak up and make yourself vulnerable. And in doing so, you have these conversations where you understand the other person and you build this deeper and deeper connection. You see, vulnerability is vitally important. I'll give you a reason why. So when we talk about connections being the kind of foundation of who we are as human beings, every one of us wants to belong. Every one of us fears being ostracized. In fact, if you go right back, they call themselves anthropologists, but they look at, you know, back in the tribal days, one of the challenges we had is everybody wanted to fit in, because if you were the weakest in your tribe, if you were the weakest person, you would hold back the entire tribe and they would risk death as a result of that. So therefore, you were ostracized, you were banished from the tribe, and you were left to fend for yourself, which almost always led to death. Now, the funny thing is, the anthropologists say, hey, we've come a long way since then. Now we don't need to fear that. We don't need to fear being ostracized. But I'd argue, actually, yes, we do, because social media is a great example of that. When you're on social media, you're in these groups, if you have a contrary view to somebody else, if you speak up about something that you believe that is different from what everybody else believes, you fear being rejected from that social group. You fear being ostracized or being banished from that. And now more than ever, it's easy, because all they do is they basically exclude you from the conversations on social. So we fear this thing. So therefore, we can't make those true connections with other people, because true connections come through vulnerability. So let's have a look at how our brains work for a moment. So there's a couple of kind of things that why vulnerability is so important. First of all, as I said, it kind of helps you to make a deeper connection with somebody else. And this is a technique I use on my podcast all the time. It's a technique I use when I'm selling, when I'm teaching people marketing. One of the things I teach them is about showing vulnerabilities to create a safe space. So for example, if I'm having a conversation with CL and I'm going, hey, CL, I'd love to you to join my program, blah, blah, blah. I'm talking about whatever. One of the things I do is I will share something vulnerable about myself. I will make myself vulnerable to CL. And the reason for this is whenever you're having a conversation with someone, they are making a decision on three different levels. They're making a decision about everything you're saying, everything that you're imparting to them on three different levels. And these are the three kind of core functions of the brain. We have the logical part of the brain, which is called the neocortex. So this is the part of the brain that analyzes what you're saying and says, does this line up? I guess it does. Okay, we'll keep listening. You have the emotional part of the brain. This is called the limbic system. And that's looking at how they feel when they're talking to you. What does it make them feel like? What are they like? What's the experience that they're having? But then you have the third part of the brain. And we call this the reptilian part of the brain. I wish they'd give it a better name, because the other one sounds scientific. And this one's just like reptilian, your lizard brain. So we have the reptilian side of your brain. And what that does is that protects you. That is your defense mechanism. It's also the part of the brain that makes sure that you breathe, you know, that you can walk, that you can move your limbs, all those kind of things as well. But what it does is it protects you. So when you're having a conversation with somebody else and you openly share vulnerability, the other person's brain reacts in an interesting way. The reptilian part of the brain goes, oh, wait, this is a safe space. they're sharing a vulnerability with me, which means I don't need to be as guarded as I was before. So you get the reptilian part of your brain just going, okay, I'm going to go in the corner and have a whiskey or curl up in fetal position or grab a coffee or whatever. I'm not needed in this conversation right now. So it gives you a chance for them to be more open to you, you to be more open to them, and therefore you have a deeper connection with them. Now, like I said, I do this on my podcast. It's one of the reasons why I can draw out certain things with the guests that I have on there. In fact, the amount of times I've had guests on the show where they go, hey, I just realized I've never shared that publicly before. Oh, Vince. The reason they've never shared that is because I created a safe space for them to share it. I shared my own vulnerabilities first. I do this when I'm creating high-performing teams. If I'm to create a high-performing team, you have to be weak, or as in you have to show vulnerability. And to do that, what I do is I get them together at the beginning when we're creating a team and I say, hey, look, here's the thing. So my background's in marketing. I coach marketing and teach digital marketing as well. But I'll get these teams together and I go, okay, here's the first rule of this team. It's like Fight Club. Here's the first rule of this team. And that is, you don't know everything, and that's A-okay. I don't know everything, that's A-okay. Here's the thing. I've been doing marketing for over 25-ish years. I don't want to admit how long, actually. For a very, very long time. I've been recognized with so many different awards. Adobe picked me as one of the top 50 marketers in the world. In fact, they had only picked the top 25. So my son keeps reminding me, that's top 25, Dad. And I'm like, yeah, but the program's 50. Anyway, so all that recognition, though, and I will say to them, there are basic principles of marketing that I probably don't know. There are aspects that a junior in a marketing team probably could do better than I could do or know more than I can do. And that's okay. I'm okay with that, which means you guys can be okay with that as well. It means you guys can actually feel free to take risks. You guys can feel free to be open and honest in here without having to fear rejection or fear people shunning you. So this is how you kind of build those deeper connections. But the other thing it does is it makes you incredibly relatable. And this is really important. In fact, one of my greatest moments, so I love public speaking, any stage, I'll be on stage anywhere, right? I just love being in front of a crowd. I've had that since I was a little kid, that moment where everyone laughs and you're standing on stage and you're like, ooh, you pull the thread and they laugh a little bit more and you're like, oh my goodness, is this what drugs feel like? I don't know, maybe it does. You just pull all these strings, everyone's laughing. But I love being on stage. But one of the ones I was most intimidated by was a conference that I spoke at where two of the speakers there were my favorite speakers. One of them was Sir Ken Robinson, who is one of the greatest, unfortunately passed away last year, but he's one of the greatest public speakers. His TED Talk has been viewed so many different times. And the other one was Michael T. Jones from Google, who created a lot of the systems that we all know and love now. And I'm keynoting with these two people. I'm like, damn, because I'm very competitive. And we have this rating system after it where everyone rates all the different speakers. And I'm like, well, normally I'm first equal or first, but I guess this time I'm going to be third. So I was preparing what I was going to say. I was getting everything ready. I was going to go out on stage and I get this phone call 5 minutes before I go on stage. And it's from one of my sisters. Now, this is a sister who grew up, well, I mean, they all grew up in the environment that I did. So it's not a great environment. But as a result of some things that happened to her through that, she thought she was never going to be able to have children. So here I am about to go up on stage and I get this call from my sister. She's now happily married, but accepting the fact that they're never going to have kids. And she's crying her eyes out. And I'm like, oh my goodness, what's gone wrong? And she goes, no, it's good. And then she told me that she was now pregnant. Now, this was an incredible, I was completely overwhelmed. I was just so happy for her. I just couldn't believe it. She was the type of sister who you knew should be a mother anyway. She's the type of sister who mothered most of us, even though she was younger. She tended to be the mother that brought everyone together. So I'm about to go on stage and I realize I'm bawling my eyes out. So I clean myself up a little bit. I get out on stage. I stand there and I realize I've forgotten everything. I don't know a single thing I'm about to say. My mind is now permanently on my sister. I want to fly over to Australia and go and see her and just give her a giant hug. And I'm standing there in front of all these people. And I thought, I could either pretend, I could either hide from this, or I could own this. So I said to everybody, look, if I look a little bit off, it's because I am. I'm going to share some amazing stuff with you, but right now my brain is in a completely different space, and here's why. And I told them the story. And in sharing that story and making myself vulnerable in front of these, you know, 1,000 or so people, what I noticed was everybody leant in. I looked at the front rows in there, and everybody leant into the story. Everybody leant into that. We had a few people crying in there with me. I'm standing on stage, and then everything came back as I was sharing the story. So then I shared my presentation. At the end of that conference, I looked through the results, and I was like, oh my goodness, I'm first equal with Sir Ken Robinson. And it wasn't because I'm a better public speaker at all. This guy's an absolute legend. He taught me so much in watching the way that he addresses audience. But it was in the fact that I made myself vulnerable and I made myself incredibly relatable to everybody else. The other thing that I noticed was, and I've shared this on your show, CL, but when I published my first book, I spiraled. And I don't have time to go into full imposter syndrome and what I dealt with in there, but my brain just played tricks on me. My brain was like, who the hell do you think you are, Vince? Like, what makes you think you've got a right to write a book? What makes you think anyone wants to listen to what you have to say? Or they're going to read your book and go, dude, amateur. So I kind of spiraled in that. And then I realized I was hiding away. I didn't want to show vulnerability. I didn't want to show anything. I just hid from the world. I said, for the next 2 weeks, I said, I'm not going to talk about my book at all. I turned down interviews with Forbes, CIO Magazine, Diginomica. They wanted to do big spreads on me. I went, nope, I'm too busy. I'm chief marketing officer at Cigna. I'm done. The reality is I wasn't too busy. I mean, I was busy, but I could have always made time for those things. But then it was when somebody called me on that and said, Vince, what's going on? And they told me about what they went through. They shared their vulnerability. This was one of my mentors who's like 8 times best-selling author. And he shared with me what he goes through every time he writes a book and publishes a book. And it's the exact same experience that I just had. In sharing that vulnerability with me, I lowered my guard. It became even more relatable to him. Yeah. And then I went out there and I decided, that's it. I'm going to confront this. I did an opening keynote at a conference. It was all about marketing. And I decided, screw marketing. I'm going to get up there. I'm going to talk about fear and being fearless. So I got in front of people and I shared my story. And I shared about imposter syndrome. I shared about how we sabotage ourselves. I shared about how our brain works and why we're so consumed with fear most of the time. And in doing so, that opened up. And basically, that was the beginning of the end of me working at Cigna, by the way. Because the moment I did that, so many people reached out to me and said, we need help. Me too. I felt like you're telling my story. And the more I shared this vulnerability with people, the more I showed that I was vulnerable, the more they related to me, the more they wanted to know from me. And that's when I realized I can do so much better in this world. I can do so much good doing something where I'm helping people like this, rather than sitting in an office, in a cushy office, getting paid ridiculous amount of money as a chief marketing officer and being completely unfulfilled and completely unhappy. So that was the hook that got in me that pulled me out of there and brought me back into entrepreneurship again. So I became far more relatable to audiences and relatable to people because I was willing to let myself be vulnerable in front of them. Now there's a quote that I really love. It's also by Brené Brown. I'm a big Brené Brown fan. You'll pick this up very quickly. She said, the thing is about being vulnerable is to create is to make something that has never existed before. There is nothing more vulnerable than that. And I speak mostly to entrepreneurs. I speak mostly to people that are building their businesses. And I'm telling you now, that is incredibly vulnerable. It is a roller coaster journey. And people don't tell you this normally. They tell you all about the, you know, we start our own business for the freedom, and we start our own business because, you know, it's going to give us the financial freedom and the freedom to go on holiday whenever we want. We choose our hours. No, you don't. You leave a 9-to-5 job to work 24/7, and you leave a 9-to-5 job with security to go into something that has no security. You've got to keep pushing in and pushing in. But we love it. And we love it for the roller coaster ride because the highs on that roller coaster ride are so high and so good. And it's so fulfilling when you're helping other people. But the lows are really, really hard. Right? And we as entrepreneurs need to make ourselves open to each other and more vulnerable. And the reason for that is what I said to you all at the beginning, which is we are all human beings, which means we are all flawed. We are all fallen. We all make mistakes. We all screw up. And each of us has our own insecurities and our own fears. If we took the chance to open ourselves up to other people about that, you'll be surprised what happens. In fact, a good friend of mine in the UK, she's another entrepreneur. The two of us just touch base with each other all the time, checking on each other, make sure we're doing all right. And I noticed she'd gone radio silence, like quiet for like 2 weeks. There was nothing, no Facebook lives, no, you know, no posts, no anything, no PR about it or anything like that. And I was like, something's not quite right. So I sent her a message. I'm like, you okay? I'm just a little bit worried. And she replied with two words, I'm okay, which translated in her speak was, I'm not okay, please help, somebody help me. I'm spiraling really badly because normally it'd be like a long answer to me. So I said, look, let's jump on Zoom. I'm not comfortable at the moment, but let's jump on Zoom. Oh, but I'm not feeling great, jump on Zoom. So we jumped on Zoom, we had a conversation and I started to talk to her about what was going on. And she allowed herself to be vulnerable and said, look, here's what's happening, I'm spiraling. She goes, I had a major publication approach me and say, we want to profile you. but you have to fill in all this detail. You've got to send us all this stuff. And then I had another large corporate come to me and say, we really want you to do this consultation piece, but can you put together a proposal? And she goes, I had these two things which were huge and I didn't feel worthy of either of them. I felt really intimidated by these. Imposter syndrome kicked in and I started to back away and back away and back away. And a week went by and I hadn't even started either of those, the proposal or the stuff for the reporter. 2 weeks went by, nothing. 3 weeks went by, nothing. Now I'm dodging their phone calls. I'm dodging their emails. I'm now really embarrassed. I'm now ashamed. I'm ashamed of my own behavior. I'm ashamed of the fact that I couldn't stand up to this. You know, I'm a strong entrepreneur. Like, this woman is crushing it. And yet this has happened. And I remember saying, oh, is that all? That's my Tuesday. I shared with her, I had just gone through the exact same thing. Company has said to me, they came to me and said, look, we want you to do this. We want you to do a lead generation strategy for us. You don't have to do any of the work. We're going to pay you. You're going to come in. You're going to do this strategy. And, you know, this is my area of expertise. And I'm like, man, I could do this in my sleep. Sweet. This is going to be awesome. And they're going to pay me really good coin for it as well. And then they were like, they said the magic words. They said, can you just put together a proposal for us? And I went away and went, sure. And then realized, but what if it's not as good as the proposals that they get from the agencies? I'm not an agency. I'm just an entrepreneur. Oh, no. But what if they look at it and go, oh, we got it wrong. Oh, this is really embarrassing. Now it's really awkward. We don't want to work with Vince. And just this weird conversation in my head. So I had to confront that. I said to her, I did the same thing. I hid away for a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks. I procrastinated and procrastinated to the point where it became really embarrassing. Now, by sharing that vulnerability with her, and by the way, that had a happy outcome because I actually went back to them and told them upfront exactly what had happened, and they ended up signing with me anyway. But by sharing that with her, that relationship grew closer. By sharing that vulnerability, we were both able to strengthen each other. And this is the key. Like I said to you, we're all human beings trying to make our way on this planet. We all have a purpose. We all have a calling. And we all have our own fears and insecurities. If we can be vulnerable with each other, then through that, we're going to form deeper connections and we're going to sharpen each other. Like iron sharpens iron. We're just going to get better and better and better. So my recommendation to all of you is really, really simple. Make yourself vulnerable. Make yourself, like, put yourself out there, because honestly, you cannot succeed. You cannot grow. You cannot move forward without taking risks. And one of those risks is about being vulnerable. Over to you, CL. I never know how to finish these things, honestly. Wow. Like, at the end, you're like, I'm done. I got a mic. I want to drop the mic now.
Oh, my goodness, Vince. You probably should just go ahead and drop the mic, brother. That was amazing. Absolutely phenomenal. Again, Vince Warnock from Wellington, New Zealand. People are just blowing up the comments saying how much this whole talk that you gave us, Vince, one thing that I took away, I wrote it down, vulnerability breeds relatability. And you know what? I must confess that sometimes we try to present, and me too, have tried to present ourselves as superhuman and everything's put together and everything's right and everything's framed perfectly. And reality, it says, we're human beings. And we have, and when we make ourselves vulnerable to say, hey man, I'm not necessarily good at as good as I think I am, or man, this is a weak area for me, or this is a struggle, man, that vulnerability helps people to relate to us. And that's very, very powerful. Four dynamic, unbelievably profound words from four great speakers from three different time zones. And so I'm going to go back around the horn as we're closing in. I'm going to ask my man KTV. He was our opener for a closing thought.
Man, as I talked about the dream, believe, do, and repeat, the biggest thing is understanding that we can't do it all by ourselves, correct? That is one of the things we talked about tonight. And so then I would just say, I've learned recently, and I'll get it correct here, that when my responsibility overlaps my passion, my purpose in the middle, right? Mm-hmm. And so then taking that and understanding that once I find that person to walk with, and I'm finding that person to mentor, and I'm finding that coach, and I'm making their floor my ceiling, I'm into it, brother. And So then I would just say, as we walk away from this tonight, take that dream, find someone who's doing what you do, hold on, but do something about it. Just be a verb.
All right. Awesome. Appreciate that, man. Appreciate that. Our Patrice Bryant was our second speaker from Connecticut. Our Patrice, a closing thought.
I would just ask a question. Who's better than you? And there's a song that says, nobody. who's better than you? There's only you can do what you were assigned to do. Only you can do what you were put here on earth to do. So there is no one better than you. Make it happen.
That's powerful. Make it happen. I told our Leadership Institute today, don't tone it down. Tone it up. Turn it up, man. Don't turn it down. So thank you so much, our Patrice. Lon Jordan from Cleveland, Ohio, our third speaker. Lon, closing thought.
Yeah, my closing thought is more of a challenge in the form of a question. So my question for you is, what things or situations in your life are keeping you from fulfilling your purpose? And really taking time to write down some of those barriers, some of those hindrances that are keeping you back from moving forward, addressing those and having the courage to move forward anyway. But definitely challenge yourself to confront those things that are holding you back, have the courage to push through so that you are able to embrace and fulfill your purpose.
Powerful. Thank you, Lon Jordan. Lon Jordan, Sketched by Design. So very, very good closing thought. And of course, our closer is going to close us out. Vince Warnock from Wellington, New Zealand. Vince, closing thought, sir.
This is simple. You've got this. You're stronger than you think you are. You're more capable than you think you are. Stop comparing yourself to other people. Seriously, those people you're comparing yourself to, I just want you to know this. They're as much of a hot mess as you. And you've got as much of a right to succeed, to grow, to prosper as they do. So keep pressing in. And like the others have said here, surround yourself with other people that can lift you up, that can empower you, and that can sharpen you.
And just so you guys know, I pick Vince's brain all the time because he's just, as you see them golden nuggets, I'm telling you, he said it best. Them people are a hot mess too, right? They try to act like their house is clean and everything's in they a hot mess, right, Patrice? They a hot mess. They just faking the funk, man. So, ladies and gentlemen, this has been, man, this is Greg commented to me, man, this was an absolute home run. Not for me, but for us, for all of us. I feel better. I feel edified. I feel strengthened. I feel like, man, I'm going to believe, do, act. I feel like I can do this. I'm speechless, and I'm a speaker. Go figure that. So impact your life 24/7. Our mission is to impact one life one day at a time. For those of you watching live, share this with someone, man, because we heard four amazing segments of truth tonight. And listen, I said this, I told Greg this, I said, man, I may not get there promoting myself because, you know, I'm the speaker. So that's kind of what you always see me doing. Hey, have me come speak for you. And I said, God, man, if I can't get there by promoting myself, maybe I can get there by promoting somebody else. And I always want that to be the case, that our platform is open. So thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for another great session of Midnight Motivation. And I hope that you all have a good rest of your night and rest of your day. Vince, we love you, man. God bless you guys. Have a good night.